Amen. Well, let's turn over to James chapter 2. And let's look at this again this morning, James chapter 2. And I've been looking at verses 14 through 26. And when you get there, I'm going to read from the King James this morning. If you have that, you can read along or whatever. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Or you could say, what good is it? You could say that another way. What good does it do? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So if there's no, another way you could say it, if there's no corresponding action, if there's no action to what you believe, then your faith is dead. That means it's just alone. There's no action to it. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And we have been making this confession. Let's say it again. Faith that does something. Or we could say it this way, real faith, say that, real faith, acts on what it believes. So if you have living faith, you act. If you say you truly believe, you act. You act on it. And so many, you can look at natural examples in life, and things that you truly believe. I'll just say it another way. You talk to somebody long enough, they're going to tell you what's on their heart. Either what's bugging them or what's exciting them, what motivates them, they're going to talk about it. It's just in them. They're going to talk about it. They're going to yak, 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 yak. And you're going to just talk. They may talk about the weather and baseball or something, but sooner or later, they're going to get over and start talking to you about what inspires them, what just turns them on, what hits every button with them. They're going to talk about it. You know it's true. You know it's true in you. You talk about something that really just turns you on, they say. And so that's the same thing when faith is there. See, faith is supernatural. Faith is real. Faith is alive. And if anybody has had any supernatural faith things happen to them, you may not see it, you may not feel it, but you know you got it. And when you know you got it, you're moving. You're moving in that direction. I mean, here's a faith example. I mean, look over at Hebrews 11 for a second. And when you look at Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, what? Not seen as yet. He didn't see it, but he was warned. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That one command, something that he heard, moved him. And what did he do? He moved with and by faith and prepared an ark. How many of us have heard things that we go, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. Right? But when faith is alive here, when it's living faith, you're not dragging your feet. You're moving. You're moving out. You're stepping out. And it may be contrary and everything looks like you will never, ever have it, get it, do it. But faith ignited here will cause you to do something. And that's why a lot of times we think, well, yeah, I got faith. Okay, if you have faith, then you're doing something. Because if it's just talk, 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 it's dead faith. It's not alive. And that's how we can examine whether or not I'm really in faith or not. See, a lot of people in church say, yeah, I'm believing God. Okay, I'm trusting God. Or they say, I'm trusting God. They want to make it spiritual. And then you just say, well, yes, okay, I know you're trusting God. Right? So that means you must really be trusting. Really? Okay. Well, let's see if you're really trusting God. If you're trusting God, then you're doing something. And I can see it. That's why when Jesus, when he was in, I think it was Capernaum, and he was teaching, and the man who was bedfast couldn't get in the house. And what'd they do? They took the roof off and lowered him in. And Jesus saw his faith. He just didn't talk about it and say, oh, well, can't get in. I guess it wasn't meant to be. I guess it wasn't God's will. No. He said, you tear up that roof and get me, lower me down. And Jesus saw his faith. Same with the woman with the issue of blood. She heard Jesus, or heard, I think it says in the King James, she heard of Jesus. And made her way to him. And if you read some of the modern translations, it says, she said, and some of the modern translations say, she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole, I'll be healed. So what she heard, faith came. Same with Peter. He said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. Come. And that word spoken, he received. And I'm telling you, it must have motivated him. It must have given him confidence because he got out of a boat. He got out of a ship in the midst of a storm and walked on water. So real excuse me, real living faith, I'm doing something. I'm moving. I mean, I've had some experiences where I just knew I had it. I had it. I had the victory, but it didn't look like it. And in some cases, I got up out of the bed, didn't feel any better, took a shower, and came into work. And I felt like 10 miles of bad road. But I had it. So I operated in faith. What? Because I knew I had what he promised. And in other cases, we've had a situation where, it just looks like something's not going to work. But faith came and told me otherwise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith, what does the scripture say in Romans? Faith cometh. Say it. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, faith comes. It's got to come. If I keep hearing, faith's got to come. Come for what? Whatever it is that you're looking for. God will provide it. So many people say, well, I'll never get that job. You never will. That's where your faith is. I'm not trying to be funny, but if that's where your faith is, you never will have it. If you say, I'll never get into that college, it's impossible, then you never will. I mean, I'm thinking about the deacon, one of the deacon couples we have down in Nanuet. I've shared this. They have, what do they have? 3 children, 2 boys and 1 girl. 2 boys went to West Point. 1 went through, I forget what school she went to. Then she went out. She played professional basketball. She's tall like her dad. Over in Europe, and then she came back, went through Harvard, got her law degree. She's practicing law in Washington, D.C. They never paid one dime to any college because they said, as parents, we're not going to pay one dime for our children's education. They professed it. They confessed it. They believed it and kept professing it, kept saying it. And doors would just supernaturally open for them. Be it unto you according to your faith. No faith, no results. No believing. It's like Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. So that's the key. We have to set some faith objectives, faith goals. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, one of the things that we need to keep, Hebrews, back up over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's look at, I want to look at one. James 1:22. It says, but be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I like some of the other translations. when you're deceived, and this says here, deceiving your own selves. That means you're self-deceived. That means you actually think you're in faith, but you're really not. You think you are. That means you're self-deceived. Why? Because you're not a doer of the word. You're just a hearer only. The Bible in basic English, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only of it, blinding yourselves with false ideas. So you can be blinded with false ideas. Good News Translation, do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. The Worrell's translation says, and become doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. And the New American Bible, it says, act on this word. If all you do is listen to it, you are deceiving yourselves. Now, one thing I want you to look at, and go over to James 2 again. If you look at the words faith and works, you'll notice something very interesting. Verse 18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And it continues. verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And it goes on. You can reach verse 21 and 22. It gives you this faith and works. One thing you're going to notice, that it does not talk about or refer to the works. Well, let me say it this way. There are a lot of works. What works is he talking about? There's a lot of works that are referred to in the Bible. There's the works of the devil. There's the works of the flesh. There's the works of God. The Bible talks about we're rewarded for our good works. So what works is he talking about? Romans talks about, constantly goes through the book of Romans, talks about the works of the law. You'll notice here in James 2, it does not refer to the works of the law. Does it? It talks about faith and I have works. So this whole discussion here in this set of, in these verses, is talking about faith that has no works and faith, living faith that has works. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the works of faith. He's not talking about the works of the law. He's talking about the works of faith. If faith does not have a corresponding action, it's dead. He's not talking about keeping the works of the law. That's not what this is talking about. So you can even see here in verse 17 when it talks about people. And it says, even so, if faith hath not works, is dead, being alone. So there is a kind of faith that does nothing. There is a dead faith. It's referring to it right here. There's a faith that actually is dead and produces no results. There is a faith. But we don't want that kind of faith. We want a living faith. We want something that produces results. So what James is referring to here is he's not talking about the works of the law. He's talking about the works of faith. What are we talking about? Deeds, actions, something that's acted upon. He's talking about the works of faith. So if you don't believe something enough to act upon it, then your faith is not living faith. It's dead faith. What do I mean by that? If you're in worry, you're not in faith. What does that mean? If you're worrying, you're not confident. If I'm confident, I have no worry about whether something's going to come to pass. I'm confident of it. If I'm frustrated about something, that I'm not in faith. What do I mean by that? If you're frustrated, you're not confident. Confident means you expect something to come to pass. So if I'm confident, well, let me ask a question. How many get a paycheck each week or monthly? Do you worry about that? Are you frustrated about whether it's going to come or not? Why? Because you're confident that the company is going to pay you. So you don't even worry about it.
Because I work.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I understand. But some people don't even work and they get paid. And they still don't worry about it. I'm just saying that you're confident that since this company's good for it, they're going to pay you, right? They're going to pay you, and you don't even worry about it. It don't even cross your thinking. Gee, I wonder if they're going to pay me. See, sometimes Pastor Greg and I, we have a warped sense of humor or some kind of sense of humor. Sometimes, you know, when we have staff, you know, our staff, we expect things when we expect them. And so when they don't come in and we keep giving a little space and a little space and a little space, and we said, you know, maybe one Tuesday we ought to just say, oh, man, I forgot to put payroll in. I am really, oh, man, I just forgot. I don't know what I was thinking. I just forgot to put payroll in. Would you excuse me? I'm sorry. No, I don't think so. There'd be some wrinkled lips, some teeth sucking, like, what's wrong with you? So that was just a thought. It wasn't a God thought, because we wouldn't do that. But sometimes you go, you know, sometimes we ought to just forget to put payroll in. See how far that goes. Because everybody expects to be paid. They don't think about it. They don't even let it cross their mind. Why? Because they're confident. And that's what we're talking about in faith. When you're confident that God has healed you or God has prospered you, then you don't give credence. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that because you're confident in an area, you don't seek professional help? I didn't say that. I don't mean that. Some do, most do. But it does not mean that you shouldn't seek out a doctor or seek out a professional in a particular area to get help. But there are times, I mean, when you look at the woman with the issue of blood, how many years was she sick? 12 years. And it said she had lost most of all her money and was getting worse. So the doctors weren't helping her. She was at her end. And when she heard something that gave her hope, she said, I'm going to Jesus. He's got the answer. And so when there's confidence, then I can get up and move towards that and not worry, not be frustrated. So that faith requires an action. Let me read in verse 23 in chapter 1. Again, when it says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But let's look at verse 23. I'm going to read the King James. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'm going to read some other translations. This is the Amplified. It says, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror." I don't know why it doesn't say a woman, because I think women spend more time looking in the mirror than men do. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I had to put that in there. And probably the women forget what they look like after they left the mirror too. So I guess it doesn't matter, right? "For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully what? Abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience." This is what we're talking about. Faith demands obedience. If it's real living faith, you obey. You're obedient to the faith, obedient to faith. The New Living Translation says, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." And this is where, you know, the more I look at this and examine even myself, this is a daily examination to say, what am I doing? Why am I coming to church? Am I coming to hear a sermon and feel good? Or am I coming to get something so that when I walk out of here, I'm putting that to work? I'm putting that to practice. Because that's why people spend thousands and thousands of dollars to go to motivational seminars. They go for the purpose of learning some nugget that they can apply in their life. And do. Do what? Do it so that they can become successful and prosperous and make lots of money. And that's not our goal per se, because in Christ, I'm already prosperous. But what it does say is that, what's my purpose for coming to church? Yes, it's to come and have fellowship with God, fellowship with the brethren, but I should be listening to something. And it may not even come from the pulpit. It could come from another brother or sister. I should be coming expecting to hear something that will cause me to grow and to prosper and to come up a little higher in God. That's the purpose. So if we come out and hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and don't apply, it's dead faith. It's not pleasing to God. And it shouldn't be pleasing to us, because we should be coming in and say, okay, I'm coming today to learn just one thing, Lord. Show me something in your word that will cause me to grow and to be more prosperous, bear more fruit. Amen. Glory to God. So let's turn over to Hebrews. Let's back up here to Hebrews chapter 10. And starting in verse 35, it says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence," or "don't cast your faith away." Don't cast your assurance away, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That means when faith came, you acted upon it. You did the will of God. And this says here, you need patience that you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. That's what our confidence is. That when I have confidence, it's confidence in my trust in the Lord. I have trust in him, and I'm confident that he's going to bring it to pass. So don't throw that confidence away. Don't throw that trust away in God. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose soul will be saved. So it's going to take faith. You know, when we walk through life, you're going to be confronted with fear. You're going to be confronted with all kinds of feelings. But it's going to take faith to step out. What do I mean by that? I mean that when God gives you a direction to go in, your natural mind is going to say, that's not possible. That's impossible. I can't do that. But faith, confidence in God, will say, well, here we go, and you step out. That's what faith is. And that's exactly what you read that Abraham, he said, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He obeyed what? When he was called to go out. And he went out not knowing whether he was going. So Abraham, when he was directed to leave his land and his family, he left not knowing. I remember when the Lord prompted me to leave my job that I had been at a number of years and to come and work in the ministry, I knew that I knew, that I knew, that I knew I was supposed to come. And God had confirmed it in a number of ways, not just to me personally, but through other people. I knew. One lady walked up to me and said, in 3 years, you'll be in full-time ministry. Well, I thought that meant something else. But it meant in November of 1981, she said that. In November, the same month in 1984, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and said, we see you working in the ministry here. 3 years. So there were ways that God confirmed it, but I had to do something. I had to make a step. Otherwise, nothing would have happened. Because I knew, but my flesh wasn't comfortable with the idea. It was not comfortable because I left that good paying job to poquito, mucho poquito. That means very little. And that's all the ministry could pay. But you know, I've heard stories. You know, anybody here, Kenneth Copeland? Some of you have. Some of you heard of Jerry Seville? Well, when Kenneth Copeland started the ministry, Jerry Seville knew he was supposed to come and work with him. And so here he is, he's married, he has a family, he has a child, and they were hurting financially. And he said to his wife, honey, I know I'm supposed to go. So they bundled up everything, whatever their belongings were, threw it in the back of something, and headed off to Fort Worth. And when he got there, Brother Copeland said to him, first thing, I can't afford to pay you anything. He said, use your faith. So here God was directing him to quit whatever he was working on. He was doing construction work. And to quit, now he's got a child and a family and all the responsibilities. And here you take your wife off somewhere, say, honey, we're heading this way, and you have no means of income. And Brother Copeland said, I can't afford to pay you. He said, you just have to use your faith. And he said, that got me quickly using my faith. Like, help. See. So a lot of times, God will lead us in some directions not knowing. But when you know it's God, you can't, you know, if it's faith, you can't let fear stop you. You know, there's a lot of people that God has directed to do things, and they've not stepped out because of fear. So when God gives us a direction, faith is going to have to operate in those things, especially if you know it's God. You've got to step out. And pressure and circumstances and things will cause us sometimes not to. It causes us to do what? Just like it says here, to what he said in verse 38. He said, the just shall live by faith, but if any man does what? Draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure. I remember during that time when I was working here at the ministry, there was a period I went through there, and, you know, because it was a little bit of money, I had put together a pretty good amount of money in savings when I was working with corporate job. So I had a good savings account, and you know how we go. We got it all figured out. No problem. I'll just live on that. Well, what do you do when you run out? I didn't think about that. So when I ran out, it's like, whew, okay, what are we doing? I got a car, I got rent, I've got all these things, and da-da-da-da-da. And so very softly, very sweetly, the Holy Spirit said something to me. He didn't say something like, what's wrong with you? You should have been believing for this, you know, da-da-da, for the last year that you've been working here. Why didn't you? He just said, believe me for another $100 a week. He didn't tell me to believe for $1,000 a week. He didn't tell me to believe for $1,000 a month. He said, believe me for an additional $100 a week. And within 2 weeks, it came in. They gave me a raise. I didn't ask for it. See, when God's in something, you obey, you start speaking, you start calling it in, and you give God something to work with. And so that's why I say a lot of times I could have drawn back. I could have decided not to act upon what he told me to do. See, things that we do or not do, think about what happened when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. His intention was to bring them right into the promised land. But because they wanted to be knuckleheaded about it, they wandered around for 40 years. And so the promise was what? Delayed. Still was God's will for them to have the promised land. And so because they did not believe God and brought back an evil report, God said, okay, for every day that you were in the promised land, you're going to wander around the desert. And you won't see it. So we're going to have to, when God tells us to do something, step out and not try to figure it out. That's the thing. We don't know. Hallelujah. So when you look at, just take a moment and look at the obedience coupled with the faith. Look at Abraham, we look here, Noah, what did he do? He moved with fear, he acted. Abraham, what did he do? He obeyed, and he went out not knowing, so he acted, right? You can go right down these. Through faith, Sarah, she said, what did she do? She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him, she acted. So a lot of the things, it demands obedience on our part. When God gives us an assignment, he gives us a path to go in, obey. He's not going to show you everything. He will not show you. And when I think about, you know, before I came to Redeeming Love Christian Center, the voice of the Lord came unto me and spoke some things to me about me in this ministry, where I would be and what I'd be doing. But when he told me and started leading me to come, he didn't reveal all of this stuff to me. He just said a few things and said, okay, now come over here. And guess what? If we don't do it, he'll get somebody else. He will, because God's will is going to come to pass. He's going to get accomplished what he wants accomplished. If his hand is upon a person, a ministry, if you don't take him up on the offer, he'll find somebody else. Because God will get done what he wants done. And so, I'd rather just be obedient, right? And not try to figure it out, because we can't. You don't know. You see through a glass darkly. You don't know. Turn over to Acts 6 for a second. Acts chapter 6. And look at verse 7. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were what? Obedient to the faith. I want you to keep that in your mind. They were obedient to the faith. A great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in what? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How is our soul purified? It says obeying the truth, being obedient to the truth of God's word. So faith is stronger than any fear of anything. Any fear, including death. So you can see here, I'm just going to give you a few examples here. I'll highlight this. If you go through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, if you look at Jesus' ministry, and you look at Paul, and you look at Peter, every single one of them, they would give a command, and then what was there? And there was a response to that command. There was a faith command that was given, and if there was to be any results, there had to be a response to the faith command. Think about this here. Go to Matthew 12. These are a few here that I'll just give you a few. Matthew 12, there's many, but we'll just look at this. Matthew 12 and 9 through 13, it says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And of course, he comes down and he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And then, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." What in verse 13? This is Jesus. "Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand." If you'll notice, also, he didn't say, "Stretch forth thy withered hand." He said, "Stretch forth thy hand," and he did what? He stretched it forth, and it was what? Restored. He had to obey the faith command. The man with the crippled feet, Acts 14. And of course, you could look at a few others, but Acts 14. Verses 8, Acts 14:8, it said, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak," so he heard him, faith was there, and what happened? "And Paul, who steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice," here's the faith command, "Stand upright on thy feet," and what? He leaped and walked. He had to get up. He had to do something. He had to respond to the command. So when there's a faith command, he had to obey. There had to be obedience to the faith command. So he gave a command, the man obeyed, and he did what? He leaped and walked. You have stories where Jesus told the man, what did he tell the man that was lowered down? "Rise, take up thy bed," and what? And walk, and go. So there is a faith commands. And so the same thing, when God gives us a direction, when God gives us insight in his word, when we see something, what do we need to do? Do something. So when faith comes, that's why I encourage people, as much as lieth within you, if there's something you need, I shared this last week or the week before, a person we heard years ago, Bob Harrison here, he had this little catchy phrase he used. He said, "If there's lack in your life, there's slack in your life. If there's lack, there's slack." What does that mean? If you're deficient in an area, you're not doing something, or there's not a revelation of faith in that area. So what does that mean? If I need more in a particular area, my faith needs to be built up in that area. So I need to feed on that the scriptures more in that particular area. So if it's finances, if it's love, if it's health, then I need to feed in those scriptures, in those respective areas, those respective scriptures, till what? Till faith comes. When faith comes, then I act. So if there's something you want to, you know, for me, if my faith is not there to issue a faith command, don't say anything. Wait till faith comes. Feed on the word of God. Keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding. And when there's that unction, speak. But don't speak to something when your confidence isn't there. So many people, they're quick to say, I believe, blah, 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 blah. No, wait a minute. When you release your words, that's a faith command. That's a command that you expect a response. You expect something to what? Change, to happen, to come, to be fixed. And we all know that, you know, faith is the substance or the ground of something hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. Well, we all understand that. But if you speak and it's not in confidence, isn't nothing happening. So if your confidence is not there, I always tell people, go to the doctor if your confidence is not there. Go borrow money if you're in debt. If you need to do something to get help, go do what you need to do. Get a second job. Do something, but don't make what I call empty faith commands. Because people be saying things, and what happens is they go, well, it's not working. Right. It's not working because you're speaking not in faith. Faith, when it's real, it'll change something. Because God, what does it say in Hebrews? The things that we see were not made by things seen. They were made by the unseen. So when faith is there, how many believe God spoke the worlds into existence with faith? He is a God of faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, how does faith come? You could almost say this. You could say the same thing. We understand that the worlds were framed by faith. If faith comes by the word of God, then the worlds were framed by faith. That means I can frame my world. You can frame your world with faith-filled words. But if you're just speaking and it's not in faith, then you're going to become, at some point, you may become discouraged because you're going to start saying, something's not changing. I did that. I've been down this road. Until the Lord inserts in and says, hey, buddy, go to the doctor. It's what he told me. I was releasing words. I was speaking in faith to the degree that I was speaking. And here's the thing. I have had a number of instances and situations in my body where faith has reaped results. And sometimes, here's where my mistake was. Because when I go back and I think about it now, I did not ask the Lord what I should do. So what I did was, I know. You don't know nothing. I know I got my healing this way the last time. I'll do this. Wrong. You need to get counsel from God. You need to get wisdom from God. So after a year of speaking in faith, my body got worse and worse and worse until the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the shower and said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That's a pretty strong statement. That was 6 months. He spoke that to me in July, in the year 2000. End of 2000. And so, guess what I did? I obeyed. Because if I had not obeyed, I wouldn't be here. Because God don't lie. And so we need to get, when we take paths and we do things, we need to not just jump out because I know what scripture I'm going to release. No, you need to get faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing God. And so once you get counsel from him, now he may say, I want you to use this particular scripture. That's why I was sharing a couple weeks ago. I was in an automobile accident many, many years ago, 30, almost 40 years ago. It was my fault. I was being sued for a lot of money. I'm talking about back then, that was a lot of money. It was over $300,000. I thought that was the end of my life at that point. I'll never have anything, own anything. And I'm sitting there real quiet thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? And the Holy Ghost right down here fluttered a scripture up in my mind, Malachi, and said, bring ye all the tithes into the store. Just I could hear him. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, pour ye out a blessing you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, I jumped up out of my seat. I didn't even know where that scripture was at the time. But I heard it. And I started looking for it, and I said, well, there it is. And my spirit was excited because I knew I had heard from God. I knew what scripture to stand upon, not any scripture. And so what happened? 6-8 months go by, because I had to walk through the process, and boy, it wasn't comfortable. It went to the Supreme Court. That's not good. And so what ended up happening was they settled it within my insurance policy. That's in the natural. That don't even make sense. But they did. And my insurance policy was at the time $50,000 on the car. That was legal, but it was what I could afford. It was the least amount to insure the car for liability. Well, they wanted $300,000+. They settled it within that. And I'm telling you, when I heard it, the Holy Ghost, I said, Lord, thank you. I'm a tither. I bring my tithes into the storehouse every week. And you just told me you'll rebuke the devourer. This is what this is. So I didn't snibble. I didn't cry. I didn't go weep and tell somebody my sad story and all of this. All I did was I heard from God. He told me, I'm going to deliver you. Even though it's your fault, I'm delivering you. Within the insurance policy. That's supernatural. And so that's all I'm saying is that when we hear from God, seek him first. When you hear him, obey. Because you will get the results. Whatever it is, you'll get it. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. And I've learned, I'm sure you have too, that we're not too smart. We think we are. We think we got it all figured out. I got it. No, you don't. You don't know nothing. You know a little bit. I like what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. The more you know, the more you realize, the more you don't know. And so that's what it is. We don't know. And so we need to ask God. God, give me direction. Show me what to do. Show me how to handle this. He may tell you to do something different. See, I'll tell you, when he led me to go to the doctor to get this whole stomach issue resolved, he could have supernaturally healed me just like that. Just, and I had been a number of times, supernaturally. They're gone. But this didn't go. And when I reflect back, I said, you know what? My eating habits were atrocious. They were horrible. Now you think, well, that's natural. Well, it is natural. Because, you know, a lot of people are violating natural laws. And as a book, it would pay you to get it. It's called Christ the Healer. It's by F.F. Bosworth. And he had 22 reasons why people don't get healed. This guy had supernatural insight. He had 22 reasons why people don't receive supernatural healing. And number 5 in his list was violating natural laws. So a lot of times, we're believing God to be healed, we're standing on scripture, and then we're doing this. Bam! With our eating. Heal my hand, Lord. Okay, I'll heal it. And then you do something in the natural, which violates natural laws, and you're doing damage to your body. And so for me, I needed some counsel and some guidance as to how to eat. He could have supernaturally healed me right on the spot. But what benefit would it have been? It wouldn't have helped. So I thank God for the things that I walk through. I do. I thank God for them. It wasn't comfortable, but I've learned a few things, just a few. But the one thing I have learned is don't try to figure things out. Go to God and ask him for direction. Get his insight and guidance on things. And then when you get it, then operate in it. Walk in it. And you'll see the results. And that's what it said. It said, expect it to happen, but when you have done the will of God, it's what does it say? You have need of patience. Don't get weary in the well doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Amen. This is how you get results. This is why we come. We want to hear a word. We want this is something that you're struggling in. I'm telling you, if you will start to release your words of faith in things, your life will change. Things that you may be struggling with, or it's been tough sledding, as they say, it's been tough. You start releasing words. I remember the Lord told me this. I had when working scripture and working and seeking him regarding just what I call divine health. But I wasn't doing nothing. Or as they say in the vernacular, nothing. I wasn't doing anything in faith regarding my finances. Not one thing. I wasn't applying faith in that area. And I remember in a time of prayer, I heard the Holy Spirit say this just as clear as a bell. And he's been prompting me lately, step it up, step it up. You haven't been stepping it up enough. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That told me that's a blank check. And that's not something just for me. The scripture is very clear. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we can have abundance, and he desires us to, but how are we going to receive that? Through and by and through faith. We have access, what does it say in Ephesians? We have access into this grace through what? Faith. So we have access into God's grace through faith. Grace for what? Grace for healing, grace for prosperity, grace for peace, grace for provision, all of these things you access through faith, God's grace through faith. And so he's been telling me you need to release more words concerning your finances. I'm not telling you it's going to change overnight, but I can tell you this, if you release something in faith, it will change. It will change. We don't have to be subject to when everybody else is struggling. You can be living above it. What happened in the land of Goshen? They had plenty. So it's the same with us. And we need to embrace it and say, Lord, I desire a change in this area. And I am going to start feeding and feeding and feeding on Scripture until it explodes in my spirit, till faith comes. It's, you know, faith is tangible. When it's in you, it's tangible. It's like a rock. What does the Scripture say in Matthew? It says, he that heareth my word and doeth it is like a man who did what? He built his house on a rock. And it also, I think it's in Luke, it says he dug down. He dug deep down and to a foundation. He built his foundation on a rock. So that when what? Floods came and so forth, that house stood. But when it's built on sand, what does it do? It gets what? Washed away, and great is the fall. So we need to be building constantly on the Word of God so that when life issues come, I ain't moved. I'm not moved. I'm steady in the storm, right? Hallelujah. I hope that's registering with you, because society, there's stuff going on in society that can pull us if we're not built solid on a rock. It can draw us in. And great can be the fall of our house when it doesn't need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so many people get upset. I remember I heard Brother Keith Moore say this. He said, you know, people were getting on him and making, you know, unkind remarks about what he was living in, what he was driving, what he was dressed with. And they said, you don't even know me. You don't even know that people gave that to me, that God blessed us with that by faith. And you're making comments about something you don't even know. You're making comments based on what you see and you don't know. So you need to just operate in faith, and that will be a testimony to somebody of the what? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. Hallelujah.